Morning, turn to the book of Ephesians, and chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. We want to continue our thought and our preaching series through the armor of God. And I hope I've seen God just work in a very special way in some hearts and lives through preaching on this armor of God and how we need the armor of God. I believe it was mentioned in the prayer request this morning of how Satan's attacking our families, and certainly he is. He's attacking the families and attacking the individual. He's attacking the church. And but this morning, I'm glad that we are not defenseless. If we know Christ today and we're willing to do what God said to do, I'm glad that we have armor. And, of course, Christ being that armor and his word that we can have to prepare to help face the battles, because the battles are going to come. We're in a battle this morning, and we need to see that and realize that and understand that. And certainly if you've been saved any amount of time at all, you understand that and you know that. But again, I'm glad we're not defenseless. I'm glad that God's left us a word and some encouragement certainly for these days. Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to be taking our text out of the first part of verse number 17 this morning. I know we've been preaching on this a while, and one thing about it, our soldier, man, he's been standing here ready to go to battle. That's the way you and I need to be. We need to have our armor on, ready to go to battle. Because when you walk out of here, even while you're in here, there will be spiritual battles that are taking place. And especially after you leave here and go back out to where we go, into the world, into work and home and the places that we have to go, then certainly the attacks are going to be there. And so we need to be prepared for that. And so this morning, again, I want to take our text out of verse number 17. I'm going to start back in verse number 10. Last week, we were going to look at this thought, and the Lord just moved in and had something different for us, and I'm very thankful for that. Appreciate what God done in our hearts and our lives last Sunday, and I pray God will just do it again today. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and certainly if you're not, that's okay. I want to look at this morning for just a few moments as you pray for us on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Notice what Paul says again, starting in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on, now notice in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, the first part. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again, Father, to thank you for this good day, to thank you for health and strength and the opportunity and the privilege to be back in your house on this Sunday morning. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for the teaching of the Word of God. Lord, I want to thank you for every prayer that's been offered. Lord, everything that's been done. Lord, every song that's been rendered. Lord, for the worship that's taken place. Father, for the hands that's been lifted. Lord, all that's been done. Lord, I want to thank you and I want to praise you this morning. But now, Father, we come to the preaching of the Word of God. I pray now as your servant, God, that you'd anoint me afresh and anew. God, I pray that you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech. That, Father, I'd say those things that need to be said, Father, in this service this morning. You know who's here. You know what needs to be said, what needs to be done. I pray he, the Holy Ghost of God, will just take over charge. Lord, as I stand here today, then, Lord, I pray that our ears and our hearts will be open and receptive to what you have for us here in the service this morning. I pray most of all for someone here today. Lord, they've never trusted you as Savior. I pray this morning, God, you'd convict them and draw them. And, Father, this very day, they come by faith and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Maybe there's one cold and indifferent. Maybe there's one here this morning, Father, that's entrenched in the battle. Lord, and they've not put on the armor of God. I pray, oh, God, just work among us here this morning. I pray that you bind Satan for just a little while. Remove every hindrance. Give us liberty this morning. God, we can preach what you placed upon our heart. And again, I pray you'd work. And then I pray we'd be obedient and submissive to you and to your word and to your will. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. For a few moments this morning, I want to look at the helmet of salvation. Now, we've entitled the series of messages, Spiritual Warfare of the Christian, and being prepared to face the daily battles. And we've come down to the point now that we have, we're down to the helmet of salvation. Now, we started with the girdle or the belt of truth that went around the soldier and held everything together. And notice it talked about truth, and we talked about all that. And then not only did we talk about the girdle or belt of truth, then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. And that breastplate that the soldier would wear would help protect the heart and the vital organs, and how that we need to protect our hearts, certainly in this day and hour, because, again, the battles are coming. Then we talked about the feet shod, shoes for the battle. And we took a pair of combat boots, if you remember, and talked about those combat boots and how certainly we need shoes for the battle, because we're living in a world with battles. Then we talked about, just a couple of weeks ago, the shield of faith. And he said, above all, taking that shield of faith. Today, again, I want to look at the helmet of salvation as we continue our study on the armor of God, each piece being a crucial part to each and every one of us as believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to stay in the battle and stand in the battle, as Paul has instructed us here that we should do, let us today consider the importance of the helmet of salvation. Considering this helmet of salvation, guarding and protecting and filling our minds with the truth and the power of salvation. Why? And because I believe everybody that's been saved any amount of time at all knows that one of the things that Satan tries to attack more than anything, it is the mind. And I know we've preached on it before, and there are several scriptural references, of course, about preparing the mind and renewing the mind and protecting the mind. But as I begin to think about this helmet of salvation, God gave me about three different thoughts that I want to share with you here in just a few moments this morning. So we have our soldier here today, and he has his helmet on. He has that there to protect, of course, his head. And certainly I also have what is a replica or something similar to a Roman helmet of that they would wear, of course, taking into battle. And we find some things about that. I'm going to give you just a couple of three things about the helmet that the Roman soldier would wear, because that's what the church at Ephesus would have been familiar with at the particular time that Paul was writing unto this church. And so there's some things that I want to share with you about the helmet and to think about the helmet of salvation. First of all, as far as concerning the Roman soldier's helmet, just before going to battle, the last thing that he would put on would be his helmet. Without the helmet, a soldier would be so vulnerable that the rest of his armor would be of little use. In other words, if he left his helmet behind, he was very susceptible, certainly to a major or mortal wound. And so the last thing that he would grab a hold of before he went into the battle would be his helmet. And isn't that something, as we come now to the text that Paul writes about this helmet of salvation? When I started preaching this series of messages, if you remember, I wanted to start with the helmet, but God said no. And so as I begin to study it and get into it deeper, I understand why. Because again, it would be the last thing that he would put on before he went into battle. The last thing that you need to put on before you go into battle is the helmet of salvation. You need to protect your mind, because there's all kinds of attacks coming against the mind. So that's the first thing that I found out about the Roman soldier's helmet. Secondly, during the early first century, the helmets began to include what they called a brow ridge. And that would be this thing here that they would pull down. And we notice, of course, this being a different time period, our knight here, he has a full helmet on with this piece here. And so we find now the Roman soldier would have this brow piece on his helmet to provide protection for the eyes to protect his vision. What does the Bible say? Where there is no vision, the people perish. Isn't it amazing? The things that we look at, the things that we see, of course, directly goes into our mind. And so I found that interesting that they had that brow piece that would protect the eyes. We need to protect our eyes. We need to protect our ears. You'll notice in the helmet here, of course, there's ear protection. And for these, not so much as the ear, but certainly as we think about the mind and the things that influences the mind and the things that come into our mind, there needs to be protection. But then thirdly, not only do we find the brow piece, and we find it be the last thing that we put on before going into battle. Of course, we know this, but the helmet protects a soldier against deadly and damaging blows to the head. I'm telling you, it's amazing how Satan attacks our minds. I don't know about you, but I have to say yes, sir, right there. Because I believe on a daily basis, Satan is doing everything that he can to attack our minds, our way of thinking. I'll tell you, we're living in a time today where people have so many kinds of different thoughts and all kinds of things. I'll tell you what we need to do is to guard and protect our mind with the helmet of salvation. First Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 8 says this, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation." And so aren't you glad today? Thank God that we, you and I, can go out into this world. We can walk in our daily paths and go where God would have us to go and do what God would have us to do. But in doing so, we better have the helmet of salvation. We better protect our minds with the thoughts of salvation. I don't know about you today, but I can't think of anything better, thank God, to protect and guard and fill this mind with than the thoughts of salvation. Oh, this morning, my friend, aren't you glad that there was a time in your life where you realized that you were lost and you needed a Savior, and you called out unto Christ, repented of your sin, and received Him into your heart? Oh, I tell you, when you begin to think about those kinds of things, hallelujah, I'll tell you what, hallelujah, that'll help us this morning. But I thought about three different areas of thought processes that we have today that I want us to think about as we think about this helmet of salvation. The first two that I'm going to deal with this morning would deal with those today that do not know Christ today. The third one I want to deal with this morning would be for those that are saved and this morning ready to stand in the battle that God's called you and I to today. The first thing that I want to think about in the different mindsets is, first of all, I thought about the atheist mindset. The atheist mindset. The atheist. What does atheist mean? It means this: one who disbelieves the existence of God. Now, I don't believe that there's probably anybody in this building this morning that has that kind of mindset, or I sure pray not. But, friend, I'm going to tell you, we're living in a time where people will deny the very existence of God. I don't know about you, but that's sad this morning. And, friend, if somebody comes to you with that kind of mindset, I'm telling you what, if you're not careful, it'll begin to certainly infiltrate your mind and your way of thinking. I'll tell you what, this morning, friend, and you're probably going to face some people, especially our young people, that's going to say there's no such thing as a God. There's no such a thing as a Jesus. There's no such thing as being saved. Well, I beg to differ with you. The devil's a liar and the father of all lies. I'm glad there's a God seated in heaven this morning. I'm glad, thank God, His darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, come to this low land of sin and sorrow, lived a, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, perfect sinless life, marched His way up to Calvary, laid down His life, shed His blood, thank God, this morning, so that I could be redeemed and you could be redeemed. Oh, this morning, my friend, I like to think about, hallelujah, the things of salvation this morning. But how sad it is. There's people today that has an atheist mindset that says there is no God. But I'm here to report to you today, friend, there is a God. Even nature itself, according to the book of Romans,
teaches us that there is a God, and He is our Creator this morning. He created all things. Hallelujah. He has all power. He has all dominion. Thank God, I'm telling you what, He even has the power to save and redeem old sinners. Aren't you glad this morning that He still saves and redeems old sinners? Even those atheists this morning that says there is no God. One day, my friend, they will bow at the feet of Jesus and claim Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Thank God, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Thank God that He is God to the glory of the Father. I'm telling you this morning, friend, isn't it sad that people have an atheist mindset? One who disbelieves, discredits the existence of God. They can see the evidence, they can hear the evidence, but they choose now, get a hold of this, they choose to close their mind and corrupt their hearts to the existence of God. Now, if there's anybody like that here this morning, I pray not, but if there happened to be, then friend, you need to open up your heart, your mind, and your heart, because there is a true and living God that you will stand before one day. How sad to stand before Him unprepared. Psalms 14:1 says this, the fool has said in his heart. I didn't say this. God said this. Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. What's the psalmist saying there? There's a God that we're accountable to. There's a God that we all this morning need to know. And there's a God that we need to have forgiveness from. Amen. We all need forgiveness. Why? Because the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only is He God of creation, but He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. Hallelujah this morning. And He's also a God of love, but He's also a God of judgment. And how sad it is that there's people this morning that has an atheist mindset. Now again, I don't think there'd be nobody like that here today. But if there is, you better change your way of thinking. Because you will stand before God one day. There is a God. He is the true and living God. And you will stand before Him one day. Let's move on to the second mindset. And I believe this being probably one of the most, probably as we look at the time that we're living in, there's probably more people that falls into this category than those that have the atheistic mind. I've said that we have those. But I believe here's where a lot of people are at. And I believe there's people sitting on our church pews with this kind of mindset. There's the atheist mind, but secondly, I thought about this. The acknowledging mind. The acknowledging mind. To acknowledge something means to admit to be true. And again, I'm afraid there's a great number of people in our day. And there may be some folks here today. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? An acknowledging mind. Well, an acknowledging mind, again, to admit to be true. They say there is a God. They say that God is real. They say God is in existence, but will not repent and obey His word by faith. I believe, I'm afraid, that we're living in a time where there's more people. They acknowledge there's a God. And we're fortunate we live here in the Bible Belt. We're country folk. I like country folk. Amen. Nothing wrong. I ain't got nothing against city folk. If you're city folk, I love you too. Amen. Got nothing against you. I'm just glad I'm country folk. That's the only way I can pray. I mean, city folk wouldn't put up with me. I got to preach to country folk. That's all right. God called me to preach to country folk. Amen. That's all right. But I'm afraid today that we have too many people. They acknowledge there is a God. But they will not by faith repent and receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior. I'm afraid our churches are sitting full of them. They are religious. They fill a church pew from time to time. Notice I said from time to time. Now, if you're just visiting from time to time, I'm not throwing you under the bus, and I'm not here this morning to make you feel bad or anything like that. But if God convicts you of it, then hallelujah, thank God for it. You ought to get where God wants you to be this morning.
Amen.
Amen. But there's a lot of people that will acknowledge there is a God, but they will not take the step of faith. Listen, you're going to face battles too. And let me say this morning, your religious acts will not help you in the midst of the battle. Your religious denomination will not help you in the midst of the battle. Your affiliation with the church won't necessarily help you in the midst of the battle. You're going to have something that's personal, something that's real, something that's changed your life, something that someone that you know that you can call on in the midnight hour, someone that you have a personal relationship with. Thank God you and I need the helmet of salvation. But there's people that will acknowledge. I've got family members that acknowledges there's a God, but they will not repent and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I pray that they do. And I pray that if you're here this morning and you're in that kind of mindset, yes, there is a God, but I do not really know Him. Then, friend, I pray this would be the day. I pray this would be the hour. I pray this would be the time that God would put you under Holy Ghost conviction and let you realize, yes, there is a God. Yes, there is a man named Jesus. His name is wonderful. His name is excellent. Thank God this morning, just like they sang about. Thank God. Hallelujah this morning. I'm glad I know Him. But, friend, you need to know Him today. Thank God you need to come today and receive Him as your Savior. Thank God you need to do more than just acknowledge there is a God. You need to receive Christ as your Savior today. And there are so many people that has acknowledgement that there's a God, but they've never received Him. They know about Him, but they don't know Him. See, there's a lot of difference in knowing about somebody and knowing somebody. And we, all of us here today, know about a lot of people that we don't know. Amen. We know about a lot of people, but we don't really know them. There's a difference. And I'm afraid there's people sitting in the church pew. They've got it in their head, but they had never let it get in their heart. Now, I understand that the mind has a process in this thing called salvation. Now, I know the Bible teaches us about the changing of the heart, and certainly that's true. But just as that soldier needed protection for his eyes, because our eyes take in what we see, right? And what we see has a tendency to affect our minds and how we think. And then the way we think has to deal with what we believe in our hearts. Not only what we see, but what we hear. So many people have been sitting under the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God to the point that they know the lingo. Amen. They know the lingo. They know the procedure, but they've never had the process. God, just give me that right now. Hallelujah. You say process, what's that process? Again, realizing that you're lost, realizing you need a Savior, God convicting you and drawing you, and you coming to a place of repentance and receiving the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There may be somebody like that here today. You've played church. Well, preacher, I'm a member of the church. Well, friend, being a member of a church, you acknowledge there's a God, but have you received Him into your heart? Now, I'm not here this morning to make you doubt. I'm not here this morning to make you sit back there and wonder, because that's one of the attacks of the enemy, is to make us doubt. But friend, I would pray that God would really help you to search your heart And if you're not really truly right with Him today, that today, you would turn loose of yourself, of your pride, of your sin, of whatever it is that could be hindering you, and make your way to Calvary and receive Christ as Savior. That's good that you acknowledge there's a God. But it's even better when you know Him personally. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I know Him personally today. Paul wrote to Timothy about a time where people's conscience would be seared with a hot iron. I believe we're living in that time. People have turned a deaf ear to the simplicity of the preaching of the gospel. They want to try to do something themselves. They want to try to work it all out. They want to try to figure it all out. They want to try to do it their way. You know, man's been trying to do that for a long time. Amen. Man's been trying to do that for a long time. But you know something about it? Man has always failed in trying to get himself to God. See, that's what religion is. I don't know why I'm preaching all this, but here it is. I don't even have none of this stuff wrote down. I'm just giving it to you as God gives it to me. I'm telling you what, man has spent too many years and too much time trying to get himself unto God. I'm glad I didn't have to do it that way. I'm glad God come to where I was at. Hallelujah. When I couldn't get to Him. I'm so glad this morning. Thank God He came to where I was. Hallelujah. Lost and undone. An old sinner headed to hell. Thank God and deserved it. But thank God for His love and His grace and His mercy that didn't give up on me. Thank God that kept bidding me to come and bidding me to come and bidding me to come. And one Sunday morning, by faith, the best I knew how, I came. Hallelujah. To the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh yes, I acknowledged there was a God. But that morning I met the Master. Thank God. How great thou art this morning. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Devil's trying to take my voice away this morning so I can't preach. I'm going to preach anyhow. I have to do sign language. I don't even know sign language. Amen. I believe it sickens God this morning. He loves us now. Don't misunderstand, but I believe it sickens Him to the people that are sitting around acknowledging there is a God but won't receive Him. I want to say something. In the day of judgment, you don't have no ground to stand on. In the day of judgment, He'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Preacher, I know about Him. I ain't asking you if you know about Him. I'm asking you, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I'm glad this Bible teaches me that I can know. That I can know. That I can know. And I pass from death into life. I ain't asking if you made a profession. I'm not asking you if you've walked an aisle. I'm asking you this morning, have you repented and trusted Christ as your Savior today? You can never have the helmet of salvation until you first obtain salvation. You can acknowledge all day long there is a God. But until you know Him, you cannot be prepared to go to battle and stand for God. I just wonder this morning, is that the reason so many Christians are running instead of standing? They're running and fretting and fearing instead of standing in the battle. Oh my. Give us something to think about, won't it? There's the atheist mind. There's the acknowledging mind. They acknowledge there is a God, but will not repent and obey His word by faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7. As Paul's writing about perilous times, he gives us this verse, or this within the verse number 7. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We're living in a time of great, great knowledge. knowledge that far exceeds what anything I can think. All this technology that we have today, which some of it can be used for good, but I'll tell you, a lot of it is not being used for the good. Satan's taking that stuff and he's using it. But Paul wrote to Timothy about a time to be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Why is that? Because they will not repent and receive Christ to save. The simplicity of the gospel message. Preacher, there's got to be more to it than that. No, I'm glad that's all there is to it. Had it not been, I'd been in trouble. Probably many of you'd been in trouble. Matthew said this. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 8, the Bible says this people, Jesus himself, said, this people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. They acknowledge there's a God, but their heart is far from me. Let me read that again. Some of you didn't get it. This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. Speaking to that religious crowd. But their heart is far from me. Let me give you this verse. James chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse number 20 of James chapter number 2. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Wow. A lot of people acknowledge there's a God, but they don't receive Him as God. See, faith, a work of faith in the heart and life of an individual will bring about some works. Now, we're not saved by works, thank God. But we work because we are saved. It'll cause you to do something. It'll put a smile on your face. It'll put a song in your heart. It'll put a spring in your step. It'll bring separation in your life. I'm telling you this morning, true, genuine faith in what Jesus done on Calvary will change your life. Some people get saved at an early age, and of course there's not as much change that takes place. I understand that. Some get saved. I was 20 years old before I got saved. Now, I wouldn't recommend that. If you're here as a young person, God deals with your heart, get saved today. If you're here as a middle-aged person, God deals with your heart, get saved today. If you're here as an older individual, God deals with your heart, get saved today. Because today is a day of salvation. People play the religious game. They acknowledge there's a God. A lot of people used to have a phrase, a lot of mountain folk and country folk used to have a saying, and you're still here today, I hope so. Anybody ever heard that? I hope so. Friend, are you saved? Well, I hope so. I hope I can do enough good that'll outweigh my bad, that Jesus or God will just accept me in wrong. That ain't Bible. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we need a Savior. Amen. That Savior is Christ. I hope so, preacher. Well, I want to tell you something today. You'll never wear the helmet of salvation into battle hoping so, and maybe in so. There's something you better get settled in your heart. It better be I know so. But there was a time and place in your life where you repented and received Christ as your Savior. There's the atheist mindset. There is the acknowledging mindset. Yeah, there's a God. And you know, I believe for the majority of Americans today, they will acknowledge there's a God. Because I'm going to tell you why. When tragedy comes, then they want prayer. Amen. Oh, the political crowd. They don't want anything to do with God, but then the tragedy comes. We want the nation to pray, and we should. But I'm glad that the only time that, certainly that I don't have to be able to pray, the only time I don't have to be able to pray is when a tragedy comes. Oh, I'm glad I could commune with my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. I'm glad I could do more than acknowledge there's a God. I can know Him today. And you can know Him this morning. There's the atheist mindset. You say, preacher, what's this all got to do with the helmet of salvation? Well, before you can ever have the helmet of salvation, you have to obtain salvation. You can admit all day long you believe there's a God. But do you know Him today? Nicodemus was a great religious man. I have no doubts he was a good man. He was a Pharisee, but I believe he was a good man. He comes to Jesus by night. And Jesus tells him, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. Nicodemus acknowledged there was a God. And I'll be honest with you, I don't believe that night that he come to Jesus by night. I don't believe he got right with God that night, but I believe he did get right with God. Because we see when Jesus was crucified, who comes to get the body of Jesus? Nicodemus. You know what? This is good right here. You say, preacher, it's getting late. It might be getting a whole lot later than what you think. He comes to Jesus by night. Jesus tells Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, that gets into the head. Oh, this is good. This is good, brother. Preacher, whatever you want to do, call yourself today. Hey, man, you can preach after I get done. This gets in his head. Jesus walks away, or Nicodemus walks away from Jesus. Nicodemus is going, you must be born again. You mean my religion? My being a part of the Pharisees? My works, my good deeds, my being a good neighbor won't get me in. And oh, he begins to think, boy, and it gets in his head, boy, and then it gets down in his heart. Oh, yeah, it got down in his heart. I remember when it was in my head, but boy, I'm glad, thank God, it got down into my heart. Oh, I got to thinking about that thing. God got to stirring in there. God got to knocking in there. God got to let me know I was lost and I need a Savior, that I need to be born again. Hallelujah. And one Sunday morning, I couldn't stand it no longer. Hallelujah. Stepped out by faith. Made my way to Calvary. Thank God. And found out more than I had knowledge. He changed my heart, thank God. God in his head. But somewhere along the way, got down his heart. And he's one of the first ones on the scene to go get the body of Jesus. Faith without works is dead. I see faith in his works. I have none of this wrote down. Brother, I don't know. Amen. It's just God. Because there's the acknowledging mind. But then thirdly, I'll be done, I promise. It may take me a few minutes, but I'll be done. No, I'm just kidding. The acknowledging mind, again, has the head knowledge, but no heart change. The third mind I want to talk about for just a moment. And that's the armed mind. Now that word armed is an interesting word. That word armed this morning means to be furnished with weapons of offense or defense. But then it says this, furnished with the means of security. Some dry up Baptist ought to shout right there. Thank God, aren't you glad that you are secure in the Beloved this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he may attack me, and he will. Oh, yes, he'll shoot those fiery darts, and he will. He'll lay those traps, and he will. But, boy, if I arm my mind, thank God, with the helmet of salvation, thank God I've got a place that I can take that sorry rascal back to every time. I can take him back to Calvary, hallelujah, where he shed his blood and gave himself that I could be redeemed. I can go back to my Calvary and say, devil, right here's where it happened. Here's where it took place. Thank God. God, I'm telling you, do you have a Calvary this morning? Thank God, arm your mind, hallelujah, with the thoughts of salvation this morning. Amen. The word saved means to be redeemed. It means to be rescued. Anybody been redeemed? Anybody been rescued? It has the thought of being in a burning building and somebody crawling in and pulling you out just before. Thank God, I'm telling you, the building collapses. Oh, I'm glad that I've been rescued by the Redeemer this morning. Boy, along this way, he shoots them arrows. And he whispers those saws. He tries to put things before my eyes. I just need to pull the old brow guard down. So what I look at don't affect me in a way that unarms my mind. I'll be honest with you, I've got to places anymore and I go places sometimes I just have to turn my head. I'm glad I can come to those places now. Preacher, do you do it every time? I'm not saying I do it every time. But I've come to the place I want to arm my mind with the thoughts of salvation and not with everything that's going on around me. Summertime's the worst time in the world. Some people don't put on enough clothes anymore to make a hummingbird a swimming suit. Amen. People ought to put some clothes on. Amen. If you look like me, you'd want to cover it up. Amen. But you better be careful what you look at. Because it'll affect and unarm your mind if you're not careful. And the devil will have you just where he wants you. You know what happens to a lot of good people, good saved people? Get out of the will of God. They see something. And the devil begins to make them believe they got to have it. I'm talking about good people, saved people. Of course, none of us are good. I understand that. But I'm talking about saved people. Listen, the world's going to do that. Because that's the way they're geared. That's the way I was geared one day. But see, when you get your mind armed with salvation, it makes a difference. Amen. It brings a security that nothing else can bring. Because if he can get you to thinking about it, if you're not careful, you'll be doing it. Amen. You'll be doing it. Every process that we do starts in the mind. It starts in the mind. You see, the Bible also tells us about certainly the temptations are out there, but he also talks about a way of escape in the book of Corinthians. And the way of escape this morning is through Christ and being armed with the whole armor of God. The first thing you need to answer this morning is, do you have the helmet of salvation? The second question you and I need to ask ourselves, are we armed with the helmet of salvation? The last thing that soldier would do before going out into battle, he'd grab up that helmet. He'd put that helmet on. And that was a signal that he's ready to go to battle. Because he knew if he didn't protect that head, back in, you know, they threw rocks, anything they could get a hold of, one blow to the head would render the soldier useless in the battle. Are you armed with the helmet of salvation? See, when those temptations and those thoughts come our way, if we'll arm ourselves with the helmet of salvation, we'll say, nope, I'm not going there. Devil, I'm not going there. I've got a Calvary. I've got somebody I'm accountable to. And I've got somebody I'm going to stand before one day. See, our problem today is we're trying to get lost people to live like saved people. Lost people ain't going to act and live like saved. They may for just a little while. But friend, it won't last. And we're all going to fail and come short at some point. I understand that. But I believe the farther we go in battle, the more experienced we become, the more we arm ourselves with the helmet of salvation. I believe the more that we'll stand and do what God has called us to be. There's the atheist mindset. I pray nobody has that here today. There's the acknowledging mindset. They say there's a God, but they don't really know Him. And then those are here today that are armed, ready for battle. Battle's coming. Battle's here. I'll say this in closing. It's amazing. On Sunday morning, just before I get ready to preach, how many times the devil will try to get something going in my mind. Somebody that's not here, somebody that said something, somebody that's done. And if I'm not careful, I begin to, oh, that's all I begin to think about. What's happened? I've took off my helmet of salvation. I've let the devil whisper that in my ear. In my mind, and get me off of what I'm here to do, and that's to preach the Word of God. When I go out into that world, wherever I'm going, it's amazing of the distractions and the things that will come my way and come your way. We need to be armed with the helmet of salvation. Because I'm going to tell you something this morning, that's the only way we can stand. Armed with the helmet of salvation. I've got some other things, but I'm going to close. Somebody say, hallelujah, praise God. Armed mind, furnished with weapons of offense or defense, furnished with the means of security. Being armed has the assurance of salvation. We're no longer dead in our sins, Ephesians 2:1. Desires have changed, 1 John 3:14. Dedication has changed, 1 John 2 and 3. And then I thought about the ammunition of salvation. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Likewise, watch it now, with the same mind. Jesus told the church at Philippi, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This morning, let me ask you a question in closing. Brother Scotty, you come on. Everybody go ahead and stand. Now, I pray nobody here this morning has an atheist mindset. I wouldn't think so. I don't think you'd be here if you had an atheist mindset. But I wonder if you're here today and you have an acknowledging mindset. You acknowledge there is a God, but you've never truly received Him. And then thirdly today, do we have an armed mind? Are we armed with the assurance of salvation? And have the ammunition of the Word of God in which to stand. Father, I love You today. And I want to thank You for loving me. And I'm not worthy of any good thing from You this morning. And I realize that. But I'm so thankful for Calvary. I'm so thankful this morning that You were willing to come and give Yourself on a cross. That I can know You today in a free pardon of sin. And Lord, even though I run from that and run from it, I'm glad You didn't give up on me. And I'm glad, thank God, one Sunday morning, I received You. I acknowledged there was a God, but I didn't know You. I praise Your sweet name for the day that I got to know You. There's times I don't know You as well as I should, but I'm glad I know You today. And then, Father, for those times that You've helped me arm my mind with the thoughts of salvation, I pray this morning that this congregation would be armed and ready for battle, because the battle is real. The battle is now. The battle is evident. That doesn't mean we have to run in defeat. Let us do what you've commanded us to do, and that's to stand. And having done all, to stand. The fire darts are coming. The arrows are coming. But Lord, help us that we'd have our armor on, that we could stand in the battle. Lord, I pray you'll speak to every heart. And I pray we'd be obedient, submissive to you, to the working of the Holy Spirit of God here in this service this morning. I commit the invitation to your hands. You do what I cannot do. It's in Christ's name. As every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as they play softly for just a moment before we sing. Maybe there's someone here today you acknowledge there's a God. You acknowledge there's a man named Jesus. But you've never truly repented, received Him into your heart. I wonder, would you come this morning? Preacher, I'm a member of the church and been baptized. That's not what I'm asking you. All that's wonderful, and all that needs to be done. But friend, if you do not know Christ today, in a free pardon of sin, if there's never been a time where you said, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner, come into my heart. Lord, I believe that you died, that you buried, and that you rose again to save me. What is it you can't let go of today? What is it that you don't want to let go of today? Friend, it ain't worth holding on to. Would you come this morning? You got to do more than just acknowledge. You got to receive. Would you come right now, right before we begin to sing? Maybe there's some Christian here today. Boy, you've let that helmet of salvation kind of slip off. You've let the devil get into your thoughts. When he gets into your thoughts, he'll get into your actions. You have to stand before God today. You ready to stand before Him? Would you come? I wonder, just before we begin to sing, would there be someone say, Preacher, pray for me. God spoke to me in this service. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to ask you a thing. I just want to know. God sees that hand. Thank you for your honesty. I wonder, would there be someone else? Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me. Pray for me, preacher. Would there be another anywhere? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But friend, it's got to get in your head so it can get down in your heart. I wonder, would there be one anywhere? Preacher, pray for me. I appreciate the one. Would there be another? Father, you've seen the hand. The invitation's yours. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, let's sing together a verse of this song. Invitation song. Friend, it's your time. It's your time. Do you have the helmet of salvation? Oh, He done it for you. One more verse. One more verse. One more verse. Would you come? Are you armed and ready for battle? You headed out to a battle. Are you ready? Thank you for being in the house of God today.